Your inner geek wants to come out and play, but where to go? Join Vernon Wells, the ultimate club where you and your fellow geeks can hang out, play games, and just nerd out 24/7. Whether you love RPGs, video games, or are just a major fan of sci-fi and geek culture, Vernon Wells has something for everyone. Let your geek flag fly at Vernon Wells. Sign up today and see for yourself. VNW.club. That's VNW.club.
Ladies, gentlemen, geeks of all ages, you are now entering BJ Shea's Geek Nation. Welcome.
Yes, welcome to BJ Shea's Geek Nation. I am the Reverend Infuego. Across from me is Vicky Barcelona.
Hello.
We've got the show's namesake, BJ Shea.
Well, thank you, sir.
And running the board is Joey D.
Hello.
On today's show, we will talk about board gaming for a good cause with the people running it. We will talk about a couple of season/series finales.
Oh, no.
And, of course, the Geek Sheet with Vicky B. Vicky, how can people get a hold of us?
Get a hold of us via our website, bjgeeknation.com. It's going to have our podcast info and more.
Yeah.
Just BJ Geek Nation, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, iTunes, radio.com app.
Yeah.
And did I say YouTube?
Yeah.
YouTube.
Yeah. And YouTube, YouTube again. And YouTube.
And YouTube.
And iTunes.
All right, we got to get into this because there's a lot to talk about. But first, we need to talk about board gaming for a good cause. So the last couple of weeks, Vicky and BJ, you guys have been training, have been preparing.
Well,
I hope you have been.
I trained.
You guys are representing BJ Shea's Geek Nation.
I've trained a couple occasions.
Yeah.
Like three times.
One game I really, really like because I never played before. So we've been playing that a lot just because it's a fun game.
Uh-huh, cool.
The other one is arguably a great game, but I am so not good at those kind of games that I'm like, I'm not even going to try to train. I'm just going to make sure I know the mechanics so at least I don't make a fool of myself.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about Mox, baby!
Yeah! So the Gauntlet is happening. Gauntlet Cirque?
Yeah.
Nice!
Good job.
So we've got David and Lila in here. And Lila, we've had you in here many, many times to talk about this.
Yes, indeed.
And so, again, another year, another Gauntlet is happening. Tell us, first off, a little bit about what the Gauntlet is and what it is. What goes on? Yeah.
Well, we are on our sixth year. This is the sixth Gauntlet.
Dang,
yeah, it's pretty exciting. I'm kind of broken. No, it's still exciting every year. So it is an annual board game charity tournament. Yes, a board game tournament.
I know, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Some people play golf, we play board games.
Right. So it's a six-week fundraising campaign leading up to the event. We have teams that are duking it out in those weeks leading up to the event, raising as much money as they can for the selected beneficiary. And then on the day of the event, the more money you raise, the more advantages you earn in the tournament.
Exactly. So, I mean,
donate to me.
Yeah, it's for a really good cause.
Yeah.
But also, it's also for bonuses for the board gamers, for the competitors to do that. What is the cause this year?
This year is El Centro de la Raza, and they have been just an incredible powerhouse beneficiary in the Seattle area. Their name translates to the Center for People of All Races.
So, oh, wow, okay.
They are a hub in South Seattle. They're a grassroots. Their origin story is very interesting, so I encourage you to look it up. They've been around since the 70s. They do multi-generational work from preschool all the way to elderly services, food bank, housing, all of that.
Wow.
Yeah, and of course, every year there is a theme, and so the theme this year is Cirque. And so what can we expect as far as the whole thing? Because you can watch this on Twitch as well.
Exactly.
That's true.
So people will be able to watch this at twitch.tv/cardkingdom. Now, when someone says Cirque, I think immediately Cirque du Soleil.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. And so are you going along with that sort of line for the theme?
Yeah, we really wanted to come up with a theme that kind of is very evocative, like a 1920s, 1930s old school feeling circus. So not necessarily a circus you might see then, but something that's like big strong men and feats.
Oh, the twirly mustaches.
Exactly, yeah. I really wanted to have, like, large fake trapezoidal weights, which is, like, 1,000 pounds written on them that people could pose with.
Cool!
Mainly, I wanted to pose with them.
Right?
You know, budgets, whatever.
You should go as a bearded woman.
Well...
I'll get you a dress. I got you.
I've got the beard, yes. Yeah. Maybe I'll get myself a dress.
Well, we do highly encourage our competitors to come in costume.
Right, and you know you can win another power-up for
this
good cause.
So, I mean, I am the captain of the team, so I'm thinking some sort of ringleader situation.
Yeah.
Nice.
We'll see.
And so this is happening Sunday, May 19th, where 20 teams of four are going to gather to compete to win the gauntlet, which is literally a gauntlet.
Absolutely.
And now, is it the same gauntlet every year? Do the winners from the previous years have to return this gauntlet?
They do, and it's really painful for them. That's why it's very a ceremonious handoff, because it takes a ceremony to, and then actually last year we introduced the other hand, the other gauntlet in circulation. So since last year was our fifth year, we decided to put the right gauntlet into circulation, and we gave that to the team that's raised the most money.
Oh, wow.
Year after year after year.
Yeah.
So now really the goal is to not just win the tournament, but also raise the most money, and you can have the full set.
And this event is sponsored by Engage, which, Lila, did you create Engage to work in conjunction with Card Kingdom and Mox and everything?
Yep. So we're actually the charitable arm of the business. So we are a group of people that are comprised of people that already work for the company. And then above and beyond the regular work, we help to make decisions about where the company gives and set up events that are charitably related.
And we did mention that people can watch this on twitch.tv/CardKingdom. But if they want to show up, it's happening, like I said, Sunday, May 19th at the Mox Boarding House in Bellevue.
One of the finest board game cafes in the Pacific Northwest.
One of the best places to get some good food and to play some games. Absolutely.
If you've never been ever, you got to come out there. Plus, it's a spectacle when they run something like this.
Yes.
And it is such a beautiful place where you go, oh my God, this is like Mecca for anybody that loves board games and also loves to eat while they play board games and maybe have a beverage while they play board games.
This is true.
And is it too soon to say that, you know, I mean, you have two great locations right now in Ballard and in Bellevue, Washington, but I heard rumors. Is it too early for rumors?
It's not too early.
Okay,
it's official.
Spill the beans.
We are opening up our third location in Portland.
Ooh, perfect time for a road trip.
They are so lucky down in Portland, Oregon. They have no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they do have an idea, but it's ridiculous what they're going to get.
I think we're pretty lucky too, because it's already a very awesome, gaming city.
It is indeed.
And there are other, stores that are already doing a fabulous job, and they've welcomed us with open arms. So we're lucky.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
And like we've said, the Gauntlet Cirque is happening Sunday, May 19th at the Mox Boarding House in Bellevue. Tickets and information are available at thegauntlet2019.causevox.com. But we have the link right up on our Facebook page.
Yep, it's pinned to the top.
Yep, you can go to there, right there. Donate to BJ Shea's Geek Nation.
If you go all the way to the bottom of our page, you can see everybody on our team, which is I'm the captain.
Yes.
He's the captain now.
BJ Shea, Josh Utley from Omega Gamers, Sean Epperson from Thing 12 Games, and Amber, who's a good buddy of the show, will be competing on our team.
A lot of great mini paintings is what she does. She painted all my Twilight Imperium pieces. She's awesome.
Wow. She's really good at that.
So when we get a theme, of course, when you're a competitor, okay, you know the theme is going to be, all right, it's Cirque, and they're like, all right, what kind of games are they going to pick to fit the theme?
Yeah!
And, of course, there's always one that we don't know we're going to play. Last year, she got Mike Selinker, and I forget the other gentleman's
name.
Is
it going to make me
Paul Peterson?
Yeah, Mike Selinker and Paul Peterson, who are just crazy amazing with the way they make games, and they put together a trivia thing that blew my brain apart. It was insane.
We do really good at the trivia.
Oh, this was sort of like a puzzle.
Oh,
wow.
BJ puzzles.
It involved a lot of questions.
It was brain crushing.
Oh, it was a beating.
Yeah.
I looked at Mike Selinker and I said, you know what? You're no longer allowed in here. Okay.
So what are some of the games that have been announced?
Okay, go.
So we currently have three things announced for the game. So we're starting off with Parade. It's a card game. It's very fun from ZMEX Games. They are, it's something which we're sort of trying to evoke the feeling of your circus is arriving into town. You are parading
nice.
Your circus down.
I love that.
It's a card placement game where there is a lot of color elements and number elements where you are trying to score the lowest number of points. So depending on where you place your cards and what card you have in your hand and what color,
I've never heard of this game before, and it's been reskinned, which is nice. It's got a nice little look. It's an Alice in Wonderland theme.
Cards are beautiful.
Yeah.
We've had a couple play sessions where we were trying to test out games, see which ones fit for it. And the first thing I thought was, wow, this is really pretty.
Yeah.
I really like this.
Yeah.
This is definitely my vibe. I like it.
The thing that I really love about that game is that you're in it until the very end. Mm-hmm. The scoring is really interesting, and you think you have the upper hand, and then bam, at the very last move.
Yeah, it is. It's a card game that has a lot of strategy elements to it.
That is really good, too, because especially when you're in a tournament situation and you know you're really far behind, and sometimes you get a little grumpy on maybe.
But I mean, there is a lot of strategy from when we've played or practiced, but there's also a very strong luck element.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
It's a good combo of both.
Yeah.
You have to be smart enough to go, okay, I see what's in my hand. Here's what I'm going to go do.
Kind of do that math and figure out.
But there's also that, you know, in this game, there's a possibility where you want to take all cards of
right.
a certain color.
Mm-hmm.
But then what happens is if you don't have enough cards of a certain color at the end of the game, a person can really mess you over because they put down two hidden cards at the end of the game, mm-hmm. and you don't know what they're going to be.
Oh.
So you have to count, like, you know, there's X amount of cards in a particular suit. What are the chances are he's got two more? Yeah. Is he going to mess? Because if I put down a red 10,
uh-huh.
that's worth 10 points that I don't want.
Yeah.
At that point, I'm incentivized to basically, even if I collect 8 more red cards, at least I'm only going to take 9 points of the way the scoring works if I have all, because I'll have the majority at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how you have to think. You go, that's at that point, I'm going red. You gave me the red 10. I have got to go red for the mm-hmm. rest of the game.
Well, I've played games where somebody had both two colors.
Yeah.
And that really saved them.
Yeah. But you're a guy that could sit there and go, geez, I only have one yellow card,
yeah.
and it's a yellow 10. You might get, but you know, for some reason, nobody was taking yellow or did what, you know, you mm-hmm. just never know with this game. It plays up to 6, too, which is really great. That's a sweet spot because, you know,
yeah.
I love 4-player games, mm-hmm. but sometimes you always have more than 4.
Yeah.
And it's a card game. It's portable. I was surprised how much I liked this game because I had never heard of it.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, I'm actually liking this game.
Wow.
I think I'm going to play this even after the tournament.
Same here. And in fact, it's really tough to find a game that can be competitive enough for the tournament, that's satisfying enough for
yeah.
different levels of you know, gamer skill. We're getting good feedback on
it. Now, the other game... It's an award-winning, beautiful game that I will get destroyed in.
Yeah, photosynthesis. It's a top 5 game for me. I'm a big board game nerd. I really love being able to work at Mox Boarding House, work at Card Kingdom. It's a really fun environment to be around, and so we always talk about board games. This is a board game I definitely try and sell to other people because it's just so beautiful, and there's almost like a tranquilness to it. It's a resource management and placement game. So mm-hmm. everyone... So four players, each of them play as a different species of tree, trying to spread their seeds around the forest.
Oh,
so you're
neat.
Trying to capture territory.
Name makes sense now.
Yeah. And it has an element where each turn is represented by the sun rotating around the board. So depending on where your trees are and where the other trees are, they generate different amounts of light. And that light is your resource, which you use to then further grow your trees or plant new trees.
Wow.
So like you can have a bunch of light... And you have a bunch of light and points at the end of one round, but the second the sun moves...
Suddenly you're out.
The shade kind of
yeah.
screws you over.
Oh,
somebody else
throwing some
there.
Shade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's very chess-like and real high
yeah.
on strategy.
Mm-hmm. You can plot out a turn and
yeah,
be
sure.
very prepared
yeah, sure.
for those things.
And so mm-hmm. I do think that it satisfies that the highly, mm-hmm. You know, strategy folks.
And then there's also the element of trying to, like, harvest your tree and get points that way. Mm-hmm. And then, okay, let me start to rebuild other trees somewhere yeah. else. And it's like when to do that, when not to do that.
And BJ, you yeah. don't look very enthused about
chess was always a game of as much of a gamer as I am because I have spatial issues. Spatial games always challenge me. My brain just doesn't know what to do. I get lost. I lived on Mercer Island for years and I continue to get lost on the island. It's just a small place and I still get lost.
Yeah, yeah.
So I know that going in, but I mean the components are beautiful. Blue Orange, I think, is the
yeah.
guy.
Blue Orange developer. Yeah.
It is a beautiful, beautiful game, and I like playing games even if I know I don't have a chance to win because of the fact it's like this is really a good, beautifully mm-hmm. put together
yeah.
game,
yeah.
and it is. it really, really is. So I will not be upset. And as a matter of fact, I'm looking forward to seeing like what strategies that some people will use.
Oh, for future. Yeah, yeah.
Because there is a strategy. And it comes with, you play the basic version or the advanced version, which does actually change the way you play the game. I think we're playing basic, right?
Yes. We're playing the basic.
The advanced rules were too cutthroat for this
very,
particular.
Very cutthroat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. See, this is, I mean, yeah, it is a tournament, but also you're doing it specifically for a good cause. Yes.
Right. We want to have some feel goods.
We want to have fun.
Exactly. Yeah. And you guys are going to definitely have fun. Like I said, Sunday, May 19th at Mox Boarding House in Bellevue. If you cannot make it to witness this, you can watch it all on twitch.tv/CardKingdom. Maybe see BJ Nerd Rage a little bit.
Just a tad. Maybe a tad.
And we'll have some fun front of house activities like face painting and balloon twisting and
awesome.
Some really cool raffle items in house. Mm-hmm. And then we have an interactive trivia where we're partnering up with Exponential Entertainment, and they, for our Twitch viewers, are going to have an interactive experience. So they get to be brought into the event a little bit.
So everybody gets to participate.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah.
And we do trivia as well.
That's right.
I know. I think the first year we did, we won. And I don't think we won since.
Yeah. I mean, it's that whole lead in. Oh, we're really good at trivia.
Well,
that one time.
We lost our guy. We lost our guy.
Yeah.
Uncle Chris was our trivia guy.
Yeah.
I think we're actually going to give you, for the first time ever in 6 years, we're going to give you at least the categories.
Oh,
fancy time.
But you only get that about a week before the event.
I'll be checking my emails.
So good luck, guys.
Yeah, if you can, if you spread the word, folks, if you can post this on your socials, if you can't give any money, I just, you know, Rev, frankly, I haven't been part of this for so long. I mean, you know, John and Lila, the good folks at Mox, you know, I mean, I haven't seen anybody with a bigger heart. Lila really just, I mean, she literally like exhausts herself because she cares so much about the charities that they
and
work
with. If you
want
to see Lila cry.
Yeah. We're all playing games.
TV/CardKingdom.
And I, you know, it's like, you know, somebody who's that passionate and that really cares about that kind of stuff, who is actually in our board game community, who's also basically they're running a business. Mm-hmm. You love to meet business owners that actually care as much as the folks at Mox do, as much as Lila
and giving back to the local community so much.
And at the time of this recording, so the goal is for this entire event is $70,000.
We can do it.
We are at $60,957.
All right,
so
Rev,
super close.
Give us the extra $10,000.
Oh, okay.
On,
yeah. Let me just pull that out of my pocket.
Like, we got this.
I will
Let's
definitely,
go.
I'm going to donate, obviously, but also sharing it again, like BJ said,
please,
is a really big way to help out. Maybe you can only give a little bit, but maybe you've got a friend that really feels that they can help out as well.
Yeah.
You know, more people sharing gets the word out. That's why we're doing this. And seriously, Lila, David, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Please, people out there, donate, share, and make this a really fun event for everyone involved. Seriously, check this out. We've got the links up on the Facebook page.
Yeah, do it.
Help us win. Well, help Vicky and BJ.
Help my team.
And everyone else win.
Help their team have a better chance to not lose as bad.
There you go. That's the spirit.
Yeah.
I'm the captain now.
Because at least when there were like more than 16 teams, we were not last, but we may be last if there's only 16 teams.
I believe in you.
Thanks, buddy.
And I'm going to try to make it, but at the very least, I'll be watching you on Twitch.
Last is technically the first loser, right? So, I mean.
So you're first?
You're first, really.
First loser. Ooh. That's us. We'd be hanging out with Will Wheaton on the couch. If
BJ
we
Shea's Geek Nation, tempering your expectations for the last 7 years.
Yeah. Was it the Loser's Lounge that Will used to have on Tabletop?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's us.
The sky is the limit. We do need to talk some television. Some season/series finales are happening.
So yeah, but I just want to say one thing.
Huh.
Joey, watch The Tick. Thank you.
Oh,
I binged it.
I know. You've been telling him to watch The Tick. And like Joe's been like, I don't know if I'm ready for another show. Well, you're about to have a show hole.
I binged it. I mean, I don't binge anything.
You don't binge anything.
And I binged The Tick. It was that good.
Wow.
God, I love that show on Amazon Prime. It's so good.
How long are the episodes?
30 minutes.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, that's perfectly bite-sized.
I have one word. I'm just going to give you one word, okay?
Spoon.
Lobstercules.
That's not a
that's
word.
That's like a sex thing, right?
No, that is the big meanie of the season.
Really?
As soon as I heard the name Lobstercules, I said, okay,
yeah,
I'm
you were
in.
Sold. Yeah, I mean, tell that.
God, it's such a good show. And Peter Serafinowicz does such a great job. I mean, I love him as the Tick. And look, it's tough to beat Patrick Warburton.
Absolutely.
Which is probably why he produces it, because he was like, Peter, you're the great.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's
funny.
Yeah, it's so good.
He's got the power of a god in the body of a lobster.
It's amazing. It really, really is. And their take on Superman is pretty awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, that's all I'm going to say.
Okay. We do need to talk. Let's talk Gotham.
Gotham!
Vicky and I think we kind of had the same sentiment on this.
We were whelmed.
Yeah, we've been agreeing way too much lately, by the way.
Yeah, and I've been disagreeing with that one more.
I really think if Arya Stark was in Gotham, none of this would be, nobody would
okay,
be a problem.
Okay.
I saw a meme recently. It's like, you know, I feel like a lot of Gotham's issues would have solved themselves had there been proper hand railings in more nuclear sites.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
So I believe, and I think, Vicky, you can agree with me, that the penultimate episode was really the series finale.
Yes.
And this one was, I mean, obviously laying the groundwork for the Batman mythos, and you get to see some neat things, but ultimately the episode was like, yeah, all right, cool. This thing happened.
Things were okay for 10 years and got better, and oh, crap.
Yeah, and now it's going to hell real quick.
Yeah, I was glad to see it, though. I mean, part of me agrees with you guys, but I also am still glad that they did it, because I did want to see, like, all right, what's the future of Selina Kyle and all these folks and how it all goes out?
It's kind of like, I mean, as nerdy people, we kind of already had an idea of what was going to happen.
Yeah.
I think what they could have done instead was make the last episode a little longer, like the second to last episode a little longer, and include elements of this last episode. We didn't need a full episode of this.
Yeah. And
I think that's what kind of killed it.
There was some genuine surprises for me. I absolutely thought that Barbara Keene was going to die in this series, especially in this last season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the fact that she didn't, I don't know if there's a Barbara Keene in the comic book universe.
I have no idea.
And so I don't know if it was built into that. So I was just like, okay, cool. She'll maybe just be some sort of, like, you know, I don't want to say expensive, but luxurious sort of person that somehow managed to be okay. And because she was Jim Gordon's baby mama,
it's so over
works
the top.
Out okay.
But that's
for her,
what the show has been this
even though
the
she's
entire
been
time.
Gone that's insane, murdered her parents,
exactly.
Done all these things, ran the Sirens Club. And, you know, even though Penguin and Riddler were put away, this is fine for her. So, she was okay. She gets off scot-free.
In the comics, Barbara Aline Gordon, born Keen, is Jordan's ex-wife and mother to James Gordon Jr., and in the new 52 continuity, she's the mother of Barbara Gordon.
Okay, so it looks like that is actually a character that they've taken, especially from the new 52.
But they implied that she had died in a car crash.
And so they're that'll happen later in the comics.
Hey.
Spoiler alert for the comics.
And of course, little Barbara is supposed to be Batgirl. We know that.
Yeah, Batgirl eventually. / the Oracle and all those things as they go along.
So I have a question for you guys. Now that it's all wrapped up, who was your favorite character throughout the series?
Oh, that's a hard one. You know what? I'm going to say Penguin. I think Penguin was one of my favorite characters throughout the whole thing, because you got to see the rise, the fall, the rise, the fall, the rise, the fall, the rise, the fall. And I don't think necessarily that he died at all during this whole series.
No, there was a moment where we thought he was dead, like at the beginning.
He was frozen.
But he wasn't.
He was frozen.
Wait, who are we talking about? Penguin?
No, the Riddler was frozen.
Yeah, the Riddler was frozen.
So, I think that he was one of those ones that wasn't affected by Hugo Strange.
Yeah.
So I kind of lean that towards him. Plus, Robin Lord Taylor was fantastic as the Penguin.
He's the only reason I wanted to watch the show, because I love the Penguin.
Yeah, and that was one of those things. It was, I didn't necessarily care about the Jim Gordon story. I wanted to see the villains. And I think that's they even realized that at some point, where they turned this into just Villains Incorporated.
Well, it's even like there is Gordon crossing the line of being a villain occasion, or at least going against his moral code.
Vicky, he's a wild card.
Yeah.
Wild card.
And he's sexy for it.
That's right.
Call him Charlie.
I do love, and this is one of the things I said when the show first started back in, 2014?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I said two things. Well, I said three things, and all three things kind of came true.
Okay.
One thing, I'm like, I really hope we see Fat Penguin by the end of this.
Yeah.
And we kind of did.
Little tubby. Little
and
chunky.
He had his little monocle, which I thought was fantastic. I also said that Alfred was going to be a badass, which he ended up being a badass.
He was a total badass.
You guys didn't believe me, and I was right. And the third thing is, I can totally see the end of the series with, like, it literally panning up to Batman being on top of a building and that being it.
Yeah.
And I called it.
That's essentially what they needed to do, especially the fact that they didn't have the actor David being Batman. Yeah. It wasn't him at all.
It kind of sounded like his voice, but just like altered.
And then also having
an older cat.
Yeah. Selena being Cameron, her not being in that last episode. It was kind of weird.
That actress kind of reminded me more of Barbara than her. Mm-hmm. Is that weird? Like, I don't know if it was her lips or something. Something was it. As far as characters that I loved, I really love, like, Zaz, whenever he was on, I really loved.
Good. Yeah, Zaz is good.
I didn't realize that actor's in the HBO show Barry with Bill Hader.
Oh, yeah.
And now I'm going to be watching that show just because I want that actor in my life.
I heard that show is incredible.
I heard it was, too. And then I saw that Zaz was in it, and I'm like, okay.
But I think one of my top favorites is Harvey Bullock.
Yeah, really?
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't expect
because
that from you.
Because he was always such a jerk. Like I remember Batman, the animated series, when I was a kid.
Yes.
He was such a piece of crap. And we kind of had that feeling in the first, you know, like, oh, this is what he's going to be. And just to see him be a partner, obviously have a bad past, like have done
some bad things.
He's not, you know, 100%, you know, good. But he does keep Gordon in check, but also he does shift back and forth, and I like that he's still alive.
BJ, your favorite?
I was always partial to the Riddler in the old days.
Yeah.
And I like this Riddler a lot. I did. And it's tough because I also really liked, well, the many different versions of the Joker that we got to see.
Yes.
But I will go with the Riddler.
Did we ever tell him our hot take?
Oh, which one?
The one that you tweeted out and it got a like?
Oh, yeah. The fact that if they ever redid the Riddler again, Vicky told me this one and I had to tweet it out. Orlando Jones needs to be the Riddler.
Ooh.
After seeing him on American Gods as Mr.
Can't argue
Nancy.
With that. Orlando Jones would be a good Riddler.
Right?
Yeah.
Joe, who's your favorite?
Oh, man, I never watched a whole lot of the show, but I was kind of with you on the Penguin, to be quite honest. Just
he looked so much like the Penguin.
He did. And he embodied there were things with the character that, like a depth to the character that you just don't expect, especially when a lot of the times with Penguin, it was Danny DeVito's character or the old school Penguin, which a lot of people are not familiar with. And
he was the most popular. The old school Penguin was the most popular on the 1960s Batman show. They kept bringing him back. He was on more episodes than anybody because he was that popular.
Makes sense.
And I think Robin Lord Taylor actually did a really nice job doing his own version, but still reminding me, because Burgess Meredith would lose his mind once in a while, and and he was a politician. He ran for office in the 60s. So they did a lot of nice nods, at least to the 60s version.
Yeah.
And Robin Lord Taylor, who we did get to interview one time, he also was really
That's
good.
Right. Yeah.
Talking about how much he loved the role. It was the first season, actually, we talked to him.
That's a long time ago.
He deserves a lot. He really does. I think he did a fine job making the Penguin his own, but still reminding me of what I love about the Penguin.
This was one of my favorite shows. The first season was very shaky because they didn't know how far they're going to go. They didn't realize that they were going to get more than, like, I think, like 10 episodes, maybe even less than that. And then they pushed that to over 20 episodes for that first season. And you know what? It was my favorite weird soap opera.
Side note, I thought Robin Lord Taylor was my age. What year were you born, Rev?
79.
He was born in 78.
Whoa! What? Really?
Yeah.
I thought he would be in his 30s at the most.
Because I think they might have made comment on one episode that they were like, he was in his 30s or late 20s, like with the character. So I was like, oh, we're the same age. No.
Wow,
he looks great.
Nice. He's in his 40s. He's like Jim Parsons.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, you
crazy?
Just go, yeah, it's like
that's another geek show that's ending this year.
You're right. Big Bang Theory. We haven't really talked much about that. I think we should, in the middle of this month, they're going to end it. We probably should say something about that.
I agree. So people out there, if it's one of those shows that you love to watch, I haven't watched it more than just a handful of
episodes. I will probably review it at some point.
Yeah, yeah. I want to hear people's feedback on that as well. And any of the season finales that are happening. Yeah.
I will review that when it comes time because I watch it religiously.
Moving on, speaking of religiously, and we already talked about Mr. Orlando Jones.
Hey,
American Gods, here's a weird thing. I didn't even realize that it was the season finale.
Neither did I.
Who did, really?
There's only 8 episodes this season.
I didn't know.
It was an episode that we had talked about this with Gotham, that I thought the episode before it would be more of a season finale type. This one does wrap up the loose ends and basically answers some questions, but then also makes you ask a lot more.
Of course.
Yeah.
I honestly thought we were going to have like the beginning of the battle. Like the actual battle with everything.
Yeah, yeah, this is not. There's no battling going on. And in fact, it seems like everything has been fractured. It, almost like Mr. World and them have, other than the actions that Shadow Moon did at the very end to stop that, it seems that the new technology, the new gods are firmly ahead at this point.
It seems like it. It seems like every time it looks like they, you know, that Wednesday gets a bit of a foothold.
Yeah.
And they talk about it. Oh, hey, yeah, the new gods turn around and kick some ass.
And so, what do you think about the fact that is it actual Tech Boy back or is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I think Tech Boy just like
he
new
adapted.
Media, new Tech Boy.
Oh, that's a good call on that because they've already established that sort of thing with new media.
That's what I was thinking. Is it had to be?
And since he was the old phone system,
yeah.
Like most people, like first off, nobody has a landline anymore.
Nope.
And so when you have your own personal computer and in the palm of your own hands, sure, that's the phone, but it's so much more.
Yeah.
The one thing that like I feel like was answered but was not answered is Mr. Wednesday Shadow's dad?
Yeah, that seemed to be, we seem to get more of a hint that he is.
It was hinted. It was definitely hinted throughout the entire season, but this last season, or this last episode, really, I feel solidifies that.
Yes.
Especially with the fact that what Shadow Moon did at the end, which was kind of almost look into himself as a boy, and then using whatever powers he had to make people just disappear? Like,
ooh,
I don't know the hell. Like, I don't know how that was.
Yeah.
And it was him tapping into the world tree, going into, I guess it's like Yggdrasil and all of that.
And it's a very, very, the world tree is in that Norse tradition is huge. I know that because I played the game Blood Rage.
I have a question real quick. Do you guys feel that the mystery in this season was a little bit lost? Because in the first season, I liked the story that was being told and the mystery behind it. This season, I feel like it just gets convoluted.
Yeah, there's a lot of convoluted
there
going
was.
On in this season. And like, it may be because of the problems they had, right?
Yeah, and that's another thing. It's like a lot of people, even Neil Gaiman himself, were kind of surprised that they were able to get this season out.
Or like even make it watchable. Because honestly, I thought it was like, yes, it was convoluted, but it was still watchable. Like I still was interested in watching it. It wasn't like, okay, this is hot garbage.
But I wasn't necessarily interested in the story. Very interested in the characters.
Yeah.
And the philosophy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what gets me is that there's some good stuff discussed about our history, about our philosophy, about how we look at life.
Another shout out to Orlando Jones, because he did write a lot.
So good. Yeah. Like anytime he was on the screen. And this
it's
was,
just like, listen, shut up and listen.
And it was the reason why I kept watching this show,
and
hands down.
I love Mr. Ibis, the mortician.
Yeah!
He's technically the god of death, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm assuming he better be.
The Egyptian god of death.
Yeah, he better be.
Because he was kind of the spokesperson for all the Egyptian gods, even though Bilquis was there, and she's like older than all of them.
Yep.
He still spoke for all the Egyptian gods who said that, oh yeah, Set and whomever else and all of these other ones are fighting on Mr. Wednesday's side.
Well, and also death is, you know, a constant in any kind of religious.
I guess, the god of death should have a lot of power, right? Because he's like the most believed out of all the gods in my head.
Yeah. And
but
yet,
but death, like, just because people believe in it, he's not celebrated. They don't worship him.
Oh, that's kind of true, though, I guess. Yeah,
like, you don't, like, very few cultures actually worship death.
Yeah. They fear it instead. I can see that. Yeah.
So I think that's my only guess.
Yeah. No, it makes sense.
By and large, I enjoyed this this episode. Now they haven't been officially renewed yet.
Oh,
we know that would be a third showrunner.
Yeah, because they're going to have to get another showrunner, which it doesn't mean that it's not going to work or they're not going to do it. Neil Gaiman is working more with this.
Now that Bad Omens? Good Omens is back?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they said that they're looking at hopefully having a 10-episode season for season 3. And he said he's already working on season 4 as well.
Yeah.
So there are plans. We'll just have to see if A-Stars is going to pony up the money to do all of this or if they're going to be able to make this happen.
The one other question, and I think I already know the answer to it, is what the hell is Laura doing with Mad Sweeney's body? Because there's a moment where she stepped in his blood and she looked at it. I'm thinking she's going to use the blood because she figures out that she is actually in love with him and bring him back to life.
She still has the voodoo potion.
Yeah, she's gonna bring
still has the voodoo potion.
She's going to bring him back to life.
Okay.
I that's my guess.
If Which that makes sense because then if he's back to life, he might be able to get the spear back.
And that's very important.
And let's be honest, if they do cancel it, Netflix will pick it up.
Hulu. Yep. Because Hulu is doing the whole Ghost Rider thing. And so everyone's speculating, are we going to be getting Daredevil and The Punisher and God, no Iron Fist on Hulu instead.
Yep. Finally, moving on from that, we did get the season finale of The Orville, correct?
Yeah,
I'm behind, unfortunately.
I am too. I had some errors and glitches in my situation. It was weird.
And
I wanted to watch it, especially after Game of Thrones. I needed to watch it.
Right? You need something maybe a little more lighthearted. I don't know. Is it more lighthearted, PJ?
I mean, plus we had a, you know what, we got to see a familiar character come back. Somebody who left, who came back for this particular episode.
But, a very strong character.
Yes,
did she open a pickle jar?
Yeah.
Captain Marvel?
Pickle jar is actually mentioned in this episode, even though it's not with that character.
Really?
Yeah. Well, obviously, you guys remember what happened. Kelly decided to say no to the date with Ed Mercer, which changes all of history.
Okay.
So she's basically blinked back to her time, and therefore the memory wipe didn't take. And we come to find out it's because there's something wrong with her system that the memory wipe wouldn't have taken anyway.
Oh.
But they don't know that, and now, of course, the whole world's we see the world now that Kelly and Ed didn't date. As it turns out, they really should have got married and then got divorced because the Kalons take over everything because Ed's not in charge of the Orville. Because
wow.
The only reason he's in charge of the Orville is Kelly feels bad for him, goes to bat for him.
Yeah.
Well, they never get together. And so Kelly at least remembers all this. She remembers,
that's brutal, though.
She's like, 7 years afterwards, she's like, wow, this world is horrible. Things are bad. And she's like, this is not... When she finally catches up to her, you know, when she's 7 years older, she's like, this is not the way it's supposed to be.
Wow.
Okay, I think I did this. So she goes and she basically assembles everybody. Of course, they don't know each other.
Mm-hmm.
And they have got to go through so many hoops, including the Orville being buried in the Pacific Ocean, in order to be able to make this right. And
wow.
And of course, it was time travel, timey-wimey stuff.
Sure, why not?
This was Back to the Future time travel, as opposed to maybe what another movie tells you about that kind of time travel. And it was a good episode. The Orville is fun. It's funny. At times I go, God, I feel like I'm watching a rerun. Because of just the tone and the vibe. And after watching Star Trek Discovery, it totally is out of place as far as the way we do TV today.
Yeah.
And yet, it still works for me because it's like a history and a sweet nostalgic ride.
It's interesting you talk about time travel and then talk about this because, it seems like... It is almost a displaced in time series.
It really is.
And it's because Seth MacFarlane loves Star Trek so much. And I really feel that he loved maybe The Next Generation more than the original series.
That might have been his Star Trek for all we know. I don't know how old Seth is.
Yeah, but
I think he's close to Rev's age.
Yeah.
Thanks,
So that sounds like that's his Star Trek.
That means he's young and full of life.
Yes.
Yeah. Because it was 86-ish, I believe.
45.
He's a little bit older than me, but yeah.
So 15 years old, because I mean, 80, we're talking like almost 30 some odd years ago that Star Trek NG came out.
That is exactly why TNG, I resonate more with that one because, of course, I did watch the original series on like Sunday morning rerun or Sunday afternoon reruns, but I was able to see The Next Generation live a lot of the time.
Sorry, this is kind of weird.
Huh.
Guess how old Seth Green is?
What?
Because it said Seth MacFarlane age, other ages.
Okay.
Seth Green is 45.
Weird.
Okay.
I just picture him as like a 20-year-old, like forever.
This is a very ADD moment right here.
That is.
I mean, that's a massive ADD.
I'm with Rev, though.
For 10 years. You didn't know this?
I'm with Rev, though. I also watched The Next Generation for that same reason. Like, that's how I grew up on it. It was more live, more, you know, readily available for me. So when I think that, you know, that kind of thing.
And this was the second season, right?
Exactly. This was the second season finale. I haven't heard anything bad. I don't know if they're getting a new season or not. Maybe somebody else does. I haven't checked to
see. We haven't heard anything yet, actually, at this point. We don't know. And usually they make their announces at the mid of this month. So we'll have to see if they do make those for an announcement. But
We got to see a new version of the Kalons, though, like something else the Kalons can do that we haven't seen, been able to see them do before.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And I, again, because I know you guys are going to watch the episode, so I won't spoil it, but the Kalons, another level of deadly.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so that's always fun to see. Yeah, I have to say that it's an enjoyable series. It's funny. I mean, I'm one of those people that can actually like the Orville and like Star Trek Discovery and
no,
like them for what they are.
Blasphemy, sir.
I know. I really, you know, other people go,
that's exactly what they sound like.
And I'm just like, I actually think you're right about the Orville, but I think you're wrong about Star Trek Discovery. I mean, it's like, it's kind of hard to argue with anybody who likes either or either show, because I like both shows a lot.
We are now done with our season/series finale talk. I mean, we'll still be talking about a lot of TV, but if there was one that you're looking forward to, or you have your thoughts on those, bjgeeknation@gmail.com, or just hit us up on all the social media. But now it is time for
The Geek Sheet with Vicky B.
Now, Vicky, again, I'm sorry we didn't have a Geek Sheet on Friday.
That's fine.
But what do you got for us today?
Memes.
Oh, of course.
Memes. This is awesome because it's going to give you thinking. It's a whole Tumblr thread.
All right.
Okay. I can speak. So imagine being an Uber driver, and while you're giving some team and his uncle a ride, you end up getting pulled into a hostage situation / anti-government rebellion forces. Han Solo did not sign up for this.
Yeah.
To be fair, in this metaphor, the Uber driver is in trouble with the local mob boss because he was ferrying cocaine and dumped it out the window when it looked like he might be getting pulled over. So the Uber driver hooks up with the sister of the guy who first hires him, and it turns out that their dad is the deputy sheriff. Things go downhill even faster than previously imagined when they hit up a local truck stop for a bite to eat, fuel drop, and impromptu family reunion. Truck stops run by an old friend who he's won his car off of that one time, and
wait, they're calling Cloud City a truck stop?
Yeah. And the dude's hitting on the chick he's hooking up with, and it's like, come on, man, don't do this to me. Then the girl's dad's there, and he gets hit over the head and shoved into the trunk of the cop car, and it's like, OSF, Chewie man, don't let them take my car. And then the kid who had never been off the farm before he hired you comes back with the Green Beret level skills to bust you out of jail, and his sister,
oh, yeah,
who was honestly kind of preppy, you know, and straight up murders the mob boss. And then you get the plans to the DOD's biggest single piece of equipment. So you go to the middle of nowhere where it's being built, and you have some trouble with the locals, but somehow the annoying nerd speaks their language and manages to impress them. So you work together to infiltrate the military base. Oh, and the kid lets himself get captured so he can talk to his dad. And after a knockdown, drag-out fight, the dad realizes that he's been played his entire adult life by the corrupt politician overseeing everything. So he chucks the politician down the maintenance shaft of said politician's high-rise just before it gets destroyed by the rebels. Led by your friend in your truck that he borrowed with the promise that he wouldn't put a scratch on it. But he knocks off your side mirror getting in there.
Of course.
This sounds like a mashup between Big Trouble in Little China and Star Wars.
Oh, my God. Can this be a thing?
I think you just made it a thing there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Chewie and the Bandit. How about that?
I'd watch it.
All right.
I would definitely watch that.
I got another Tumblr thread. It's who wants to hear my conspiracy theory about lawyers?
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
One, can't legally lie, but they trade in half-truths and misleading language.
Mm-hmm.
Two, obsessed with contracts. Three, required to follow the letter, but not the spirit of the law. And four, really good at exploiting loopholes. And five, range from semi-hopeful to openly malevolent. So conclusion.
They're genies.
They're fairies.
Oh, okay. I was like, yeah. I was about to say they're djinn, they're fairies,
right.
They're any sort of supernatural entity, probably leprechauns.
And it's like, well, I mean, the places where we do all our main business are even called courts, so it's not like we're trying that hard to hide it.
Oh, yeah, the fake courts. I love that. All right, enough time for one more, Vicky.
All right, let me see which one I like. I like this one. So why don't Jedis turn off their opponent's lightsabers by the force, you know, by pressing the button? It's like, then you have to imagine, like, instead
that's a really
of,
good point.
It's just like, click, 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 just aggressively clicking it on and off and off.
That's the first stage. It's like everyone has already been trained to stop that one move.
Yeah.
Because it's the first move every single person's going to try to do.
See, that'd be awesome. Like, why? I wish they would have shown that in a movie.
Oh, you're a novice. Click.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep.
Damn it.
Like,
movie's over.
Say, I'm going to kill you. Click. Ah, damn it.
I'm going to kill you now. Click. Damn it. Stop that. Let me kill you.
Well, until next time, guys, stay nerdy.
Your inner geek wants to come out and play, but where to go? Join Vernon Wells, the ultimate club where you and your fellow geeks can hang out, play games, and just nerd out 24/7. Whether you love RPGs, video games, or are just a major fan of sci-fi and geek culture, Vernon Wells has something for everyone. Let your geek flag fly at Vernon Wells. Sign up today and see for yourself. VNW.club. That's VNW.club.